As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? It's Bo here with another Star Wars Mandalorian TV talk. Okay, y'all, I am... Look, it's not just because my name is Bo, okay? I mean, that's part of it, but that's not all of it. I'm loving the journey that Bo-Katan is on. Like, first of all, the Mandalorian this season and a little bit last season, but we've seen, like, Mando himself, Din Djarin, being called by his actual name, right? Because for one thing, he's part of his own people. He's part of his own tribe. He's not the sole Mandalorian that is out in the world, so they're kind of constantly referring to him as the Mandalorian. Now he's being seen as Din Djarin. That is his name. That is what they're calling him. This is important because the series as a whole, with the name The Mandalorian, takes on a lot of new meanings in this season. We essentially have three Mandalorians that we are following their journey this season. That is, of course, of Din Djarin himself, who has been kind of our main character and has been the quote-unquote The Mandalorian, is the most Mandalorian that we have on the show. But then we also have Grogu, who himself, as a foundling, is walking the path to become a Mandalorian. More and more every single episode. We're about to talk about his little journey in this one. But then, of course, there's Bo-Katan, who herself is the Mandalorian as well in this season. And I love how, as I've referenced in the past, we continue to see her going on this journey that is almost the antithesis of what Din Djarin's journey was in earlier seasons. She needs to get more in touch with the way, and that is what we see. Like, she is, like, really kind of almost become reborn throughout this process of going back to Mandalore, discovering that it is, you know, livable there, meeting or, you know, seeing the Mythosaur while bathing in the Mines of Moria, Mines of Mandalore. And now she's even, like, exchanging some of her more kind of, you know, modern gear for the more traditional Mandalorian gear with the sigil of the Mythosaur. I love how even the armorer says, like, no, the Mythosaur, that's a sigil that belongs to all Mandalorians. So yes, of course you can do that. But we see now almost as if this, like, not necessarily an angel and a devil on her shoulder, but these kind of two different symbols of who she is and who she's becoming existing in balance between her. And I think that, again, really mirrors what we saw with Din in previous seasons. But Grogu, man, Grogu, he's finding the way. He's walking the way. We get a chance to see him go toe-to-toe with the youngling from, I'm sorry, my bad, with the foundling. Very different. With the foundling from the beginning of the series, we learned that this is actually the son of one of the members of Clan Vizsla. It's a very established and respected clan in the Mandalorian mythos. And of course, the big dude that has both saved and at times fought Din, and this relationship just kind of continues on between these two. But I love how that rivalry that has existed between them, we now see that kind of developing in their children. And that Grogu is still tapping into the Force, regardless of the fact that he's kind of left the Jedi Order, that he's left the Jedi path and starting to walk the Mandalorian way. And so, I mean, we do really see in Grogu kind of that new Cree Vizsla, like this new, this new both and Jedi Mandalorian. And I'm really excited because you know, probably not this season, but you know we're going to see a little tiny Mandalorian helmet on that little face. I know how marketable that cute little face is. I know. But at some point, maybe it's the last episode of the series, he's going to slide on that little helmet and his little ears are going to poke out. And as much as marketable as his little face is, you know that's going to be marketable to Disney. You know that you know that's what we want. You know that's what we got to get. So I think that's happening. I was excited at first because when she started making the armor, I thought we were actually about to see something akin to that exactly, that we were going to actually see Grogu in something that resembled more of a traditional Mandalorian armor. But instead, he gets a very large sigil, large for his body type. She says you'll grow into it, but I'm like, they don't grow that big. It's kind of hanging from his clock, like he's like a Mandalorian Flavor Flav. I don't know, like he's hanging from his neck. I don't know. That part was a little, didn't quite fit in so many different ways. But overall, I like the fact that we see him on this journey. And we like the fact that even as he's at the Forge, he starts having this vision. Or essentially what's happening is as the beating of the Forge is going on, he starts to connect and starts to have this PTSD connection to, you know, the tragedy of the Purge, the Jedi Purge. And we finally get the answer of who saved Grogu. I wasn't ready, y'all. I wasn't ready. This was a test. This was a test for a lot of y'all, okay? If you recognized this individual who showed up, you're a true Star Wars fan. If you recognize the character that this individual was playing, you're a super nerd. I am a Star Wars fan. I am a true Star Wars fan, but I'm not a super nerd. Because as soon as he showed up, I'm like, yo, I'm at best? They're getting Jar Jar to save Grogu? And I get it. He's not playing Jar Jar here, but it's friggin' I'm at best. And it's like, yes. Thank you, Dave Filoni. Yes. Now, what I didn't realize, because I'm not a super nerd, but I got a lot of respect for y'all that knew this, he actually played this exact character in this kind of Temple of Doom-esque television series that I did not watch nor knew existed before this. Because immediately, I was like, man, what has Ahmed Best been doing? I jumped on IMDb. I really wanted to see. And I saw his character's name, who I have already forgotten, I am ashamed to say, popping up here and then popping up on a previous series he did a couple years ago where he was literally playing this Jedi character on this, you know, game show. It's kind of like, you know, it doesn't canonicize. It doesn't make the game show real, right? It doesn't make it part of canon, but it's kind of like pulling characters from from Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which is not canonical in the slightest. And yet there's a lot of elements from Galaxy's Edge that we see brought over into the Mandalorian, especially with space travel between worlds and the droids therein. So freaking Ahmed Best, Jedi Knight, saving Grogu, fan-freaking-tastic. Loved that. Loved it. Love to see Ahmed Best. Love to see him living a good life, because I'm telling y'all, that man took a lot of unnecessary heat for Jar Jar. I'm saying it right here, right now. So nothing but respect and love for Ahmed Best on this podcast. But yeah, back to the present, of course, we do see that Mando and Bo-Katan and Vizsla, they all team up. They all go save the foundling. And in the process, they get themselves a couple more foundlings. They get these giant pterodactyl birds. And I love this like combination of Mandalorian and dinosaur. It just goes together like peanut butter and chocolate. So it'll be really interesting to see those giant things at some point, I think we're going to see Bo-Katan riding a mythosaur with a whole bunch of Mandalorians on pterodactyls coming behind her. I don't know who they're going to be fighting or why, but I'm ready for it. I think it's going to be epic. You know, one thing I didn't mention last week that I probably should have is that the doctor, you know, when he was given his, you know, presentation at the symposium or whatever it was, he talked about the fact that, you know, they were able to take two various DNAs of I think he said two specifically different individuals or donors and combine them into something altogether new, reproduction, but through cloning. Now, given the fact that Grogu's past seems to be so, you know, linearly connected to literally his, you know, life at the Jedi Temple, I have to imagine that he is not he's not a clone. Like, I think some people maybe presumed in the early days. I know I was one of the ones that thought he was a clone of Yoda. But I'm wondering if what we're seeing is this idea that perhaps from Grogu's DNA and, say, Palpatine's DNA, we get a Snoke of some sort. I know. Injecting a Snoke theory, you know, this late into the game, how original. But seriously, I'm wondering if that might be what's going on, is that Snoke was actually some sort of cloned combination of Palpatine and Grogu. It could happen. I don't know. They laid it out there, so they're gonna pick it up at some point. I don't know what they're doing, but we're gonna find out. Yo, that's my thoughts on this week's episode of Mandalorian. I love this series. I mean, like, it is just one of the best things on streaming, one of the best things on television, and I just continues to be a joy every single week. Hey, before I sign off, I wanted to let y'all know I'm doing a little something different. We're giving away some t-shirts. I've got these Podastery t-shirts, right? And I want to hook you up with one. They're kind of baseball style. Post-pandemic, I took a long sabbatical from social media and I'm kind of lightly coming back. So I would like for some help. So here's what we're doing with the t-shirts. It's going to be a random giveaway, right? And what you have to do to become eligible is head over to my new Instagram account, which is Incognite Beau. That's right. Incognite Beau. B-E-A-U is how you spell Beau. And I'll have a link to that in the description. Follow me there and then just send me a direct message with your t-shirt size. And from there, I will pick somebody in the next week and give away a free t-shirt. Should mention that the assumption is that you are in the United States just for shipping purposes. No offense to our international listeners, but just for right now, that's what it is, but who knows what the future holds. All right, that's going to do it for me for this week. Hope you enjoyed this show. Head over to tvtalk.fm, leave us a review, comment, all that kind of good stuff. And until next time, I'll be back in a flash.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.